As we remain standing, let us pray. Dear loving and gracious Lord God, thank you for revealing yourself to us in word and sacrament. Thank you for making your home within us, for coming and being with us, so that we can glimpse the power of God's grace, mercy, and love. Pour out your Holy Spirit on this day, that we may walk as children of light, forever demonstrating your glory. We ask this in the name of your Son, our Savior and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. When I was a child, and this is the only car I remember, we had a blue Studebaker. Oh, she was beautiful. And sometimes on Sundays, we would go out for a family drive. Does anybody ever remember going out for family drives on Sunday? Remember you did that? And my mother's policy was she always had food because her philosophy was if their mouths were full, they weren't arguing. Could be a reason why I have some food issues, but anyhow. And if you've ever been on a car trip, there's plenty of time. There's just this meandering conversation that takes place. Stuart and I, we drove to, was it Synod we drove? Where's Stuart? Okay. We drove to Synod. Remember that, Stuart? You liked my little car? And we just kind of gabbed the entire time. And I took text messages from my friend Dale in Australia. And as the scenery passes, there's just conversations about where you came from, where you're born, the things you did. If you're a woman, you share your labor stories, you know, that kind of thing. I got to say, the number of times I've shared my labor stories with complete strangers, it's amazing. You know, there's just an ease about it. There's no rushing. It was just about being together. And I think it's the same with God. God who wants to reveal who and what he is. And in today's scripture, we discover a dramatic revealing encounter on a mountain with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, and three of the disciples, Peter, James, and John. Now, scripture prepares the reader for the transfiguration in a conversation. Are we going to have this again? I'm going to have to compete with David and Magnolia, aren't I? In a conversation that Jesus has with his followers, and it's before this particular piece, but it says, once when Jesus was praying in private and his disciples were with him, he asked, "Who do the crowd say that I am?" And they replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others that one of the prophets of long ago has come back to life." And so when Jesus asks the question, the disciples don't waste any time giving him what they thought was the right answer. They throw out some possibilities which could have come from the peoples who followed Jesus wherever he went. Who is this carpenter turned teacher and healer? But Jesus wants his closest friends to know who they thought he was. But what about you, he asked. Who do you say that I am? And who do we get that says the right answer? Stumbling, bumbling Peter. And what does Peter say? Peter answers, "You are the Messiah sent from God." Now that's Luke's version. In Mark's gospel, we have Peter saying, "You are the Christ." And Matthew writes, "You are Christ, Son of the living God." And at this point, Jesus says, "Be quiet. Do not tell anybody who I am." Jesus explains that the end is near. He will be rejected. He will die. And on the third day, he will rise again. Jesus reveals. He discloses what is going to happen to him. And repeatedly, again and again, he keeps telling his disciples that he's going to the cross. Because Jesus knew that he had a destiny to fulfill. God's will was his will. He had no other reason for being but to do upon the earth what God had sent him to do. But there was one thing that Jesus would never do. He would never take one step without the approval of God. He would never go to the next level until he checked it out with God. You know, in scripture, he goes away a lot to pray. I think that was it. He never took a step. In his baptism, he heard, "You are my beloved, and in you I am well pleased." And this was a personal revelation, a transformational encounter that confirmed and released Jesus to begin his ministry. And we have the transfiguration, which usually comes before Lent. And this is another significant event. Jesus again seeks and receives God's blessing, God's confirmation, and God's approval. He had gone to the mountain to enter into the next decisive step he was about to take, Jerusalem and the cross. Three major events happened on that mountaintop. The first is the appearance of Jesus is changed. Second, Moses and Elijah appear with him. And three, God speaks to the disciples. The first significant event, the actual transfiguration, he went into the up to the mountain to pray, and as he was praying, the appearance of his face changed, and his clothes became as bright as a flash of lightning. Jesus, in his full glory, his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became dazzling white. I'm very surprised that the makers of Tide have not used this in their TV commercials. The inner light of God. Hi, David. The inner light of God shone on the outside. So who Jesus was on the inside became his outside. He was turned inside out. The gospel writer, in an attempt to express this unexpressible, drew on a similar incident from the Old Testament. We read it today. Moses comes down from the mountain, having been in the presence of the Lord, and his face shone so much, reflecting the glory of God, that he had to wear a veil. In the same way, as the glory of God was revealed in Moses, so God revealed to Peter, James, and John Jesus in his glory, and gave the disciples a clear visual evidence of who Jesus is. They didn't have to guess at it. You notice Jesus didn't say, "Now, who do you think I am?" The disciples would need this powerful confirmation of Jesus' identity, I think, to equip them as they traveled the hills and valleys of Israel, proclaiming the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. Now, Peter and those who were with him were weighed down with sleep, but when they were fully awake, they saw his glory, his splendor, and majesty and brightness, and the two men who stood with him. In life, I think we can miss a lot because our minds are asleep. But the thing is, life is so full of things which are designed to wake us up. There is sorrow, that time when we are vulnerable and we know that our heart is broken, and it's through our tears that we begin to rely on Jesus. And there's love, real love that awakens in us possibilities that we never dreamed were there. The world is somehow different. It has a glow about it that was never there before. There is a sense of need. Many of us live the routine of life half asleep, and then all of a sudden there comes a difficult problem. Some unanswerable question that is beyond our own strength to solve or to figure out. And when that day comes, what is left but for us to cry out, Psalm 25, "Turn to me and be gracious to me, for I am lonely and afflicted. The troubles of my heart have multiplied me. Free me from my anguish." Don't you love the Psalms? The glory, the light, the splendor, the radiance of the transfiguration is still with us as we allow the Spirit of Christ to enter our lives and transform us into modern-day disciples of the risen Lord. Because the transfiguration is not some one-off event. It is something that happens every time we peel off another layer of our fake selves and ask Jesus to sift us, to refine us so that we can become transformed from glory to glory, so we can show the glory of God in the church and in the world. We become on the outside the life of Jesus that abides in us on the inside. The second significant event that happened was that Moses and Elijah appeared and began talking to him. Moses, the great lawgiver of the people of Israel, and Elijah, a great Old Testament prophet. It was as if the princes of Israel's religious and spiritual thought told Jesus to continue the walk. I love it. They spoke about his departure, which was about to begin the fulfillment of Jerusalem. They spoke to him about the cross and what was going to happen. These great men knew of persecution and of rejection. And I believe, I hope, I pray, they provided much needed comfort for Jesus as he sets his foot towards his death on the cross. And then the two patriarchs disappear, and Jesus alone remained. The law and the prophets had served their turn and passed away, and Jesus, the fulfillment of both, alone remains. Jesus, the one who will replace the old covenant. A new era is on the horizon. The old covenant, represented by Moses and Elijah, is going to pass away, and the new covenant is coming through the death and resurrection of Christ. The new covenant is a relationship with Jesus. This relationship is as close as we choose it to be. And like any relationship, it takes time, effort, and a desire to build the bonds. And it doesn't happen by accident. Like the people we have on car rides with, it might mean that we reveal more of who we are. We will stop hiding and begin to ask the Lord to show himself to us. Just a simple ritual that proclaims, Lord, show yourself to me today. It will not necessarily happen on a mountaintop, but if we are alert, fully awake, we will see the Lord in those we meet, in our suffering friends, in a chance encounter with someone, in a passage from a book, and I really hope, maybe, in church on Sunday morning. God is so ready and willing to reveal fully his glory in our lives. The third and final aspect of the transfiguration is God speaking and telling us to listen. A voice came from the cloud saying, "This is my son whom I have chosen. Listen to him." God wants us to listen for his voice. He simply says, listen to him. What do we hear when we listen to Jesus? Do we hear Jesus is Lord? Do we hear, you are my beloved, in whom I'm well pleased? As disciples of Christ, we are called to share him and to serve him. Who are we going to live for? What are we going to live for? Do we want to be transformed? What are we going to build our lives around? What are we waiting for? Because the kingdom is here now. It is time. Let us pray. Lord, in days of mercy, make us quiet and prayerful. In days of challenge, make us stronger in you. In days of emptiness, take possession of us. In days of waiting, open our hearts to the mystery of the cross. In Jesus' name, amen.